Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hi, welcome to Scam Wow. I'm your host, Caitlin Bradnick, and I love scams. I love scams. I love you. Thank you so much for listening. God, I love this podcast and this community. I cannot wait for you guys to hear this episode. It is such a joy. My good friend, Angel Yao, joins me, and she and I met through storytelling years ago. I've just decided that because I get to make all the decisions, we're only having my favorite people as guests. Like, we're just going to talk about the most fun, enjoyable things because, I don't know, I love it. I love it so much. And what's really funny during this podcast is you might hear a flute or saxophone play ever so quietly in the background. And no, there's not something else playing on your phone. It's not somebody too close to you, you know, listening to their music. It is my wonderful neighbor who lives downstairs, who I will never tell to please quiet his music. Like it's the most incredible New York feeling ever. And I feel like it's such a gift that today we're talking about this New York City episode. We're talking about life in New York. We're talking about growing up in New York. And in this moment here from my New York City apartment in Queens, I have a musician downstairs who plays saxophone every day. And it's the most incredible gift. And I was talking to Angel before we recorded, and I was saying, how can I ever ask him to stop his craft when I'm literally doing my own craft? Like, I'm doing my podcast, I'm doing my comedy, I'm doing what I love as an artist, he's doing what he loves as an artist, and sometimes we're lucky enough to be able to hear it lightly through the floorboards, but I would never tell him to silence his saxophone. Like, that's insane. We're all just getting by. So I love it so much. And if you hear that, that's what it is. Angel today, she is, and I've said this many, many times, she's my favorite artist right now in New York City. I'm dying for her to start a new gallery. I'm dying for her to collab with all my favorite curators because she does beautiful stop motion and animation videos. She's had a BBC documentary on her. She has done The Moth. She's done so many great things. I'm linking her website, which is just gorgeous. And she talks all about her life and her childhood. And I think she's one of the most interesting artists right now in New York City. And I want everyone to get to know her, to follow her, to see what she's doing. She even showed me a sneak peek of something she's working on. And she asked me for advice, and I had to call her immediately and just tell her how wonderful it was. I couldn't even wait. I couldn't even type it out. I was like, I'll put too many commas in. Like, you're so wonderful. I don't have enough explanation points to tell you what a wonderful voice I think you are as a performer. So this is really fun. We talk about her life of scams, and it is one of the most loving, sweetest scam stories I think we've ever had. And I want to say thank you again to all of our Patreon patrons. Thank you guys for listening. We have a very, very private Patreon I just posted. I'm telling about a scam I am trying to pull in the industry. We'll see if it happens. So go on to Patreon. $5 gets you our entire catalog, and you will hear the updates right now of a scam that I don't know if I'm allowed to say publicly yet, you know? So we're just going to keep it on Patreon, keep it with our close friends. You guys are like family to me. And then if I can share it, hopefully I will. But right now, this is a long con, so we're going to see where it goes. And I'd love for you to listen and then give me advice and tell me what you think I should do. Okay, guys, enjoy this episode. I really loved it. Angel, I want to hear about your scams because briefly to text, you're like, I scam everything, which is like so fun because yeah. That's me. You're talking to like the con queen.
Yeah.
I want to hear everything.
So, yeah, I mean, it started in childhood. And it is, I think.
Same.
You know, like parents, like you have to scam your parents first. Like, that's the
first. You have to. You have to. You have to start somewhere.
So, yeah, I think it started with like fake report cards and all of that.
Really? You did that? That's artwork. That's early art.
Well, it's not even, it wasn't even like mirroring the report card.
Yeah.
It was me typing out on like Word document, like class grade. And because I never showed my parents a report card.
Oh, so they didn't know what a report card looked like.
Yeah.
From the get-go. Yeah. I just hit the mic. Sorry, I got so excited. I'm like, they've never even seen a report card. This is gold. This is the number one place.
I'm just like, wow. And I make it realistic. I'm not like A, you know, like a B.
What a mark they were.
That was the first thing I've done.
That's amazing. Wait, and so was this how, now you said you speak Cantonese at home. Did they read a lot of things? Like, were they comfortable with like English and Cantonese, like both? Or was it that they just never had the chance to read a report card?
It's mostly they never had the chance to read a report card. But also, I think my mom was really involved with my like schooling when mm-hmm. I was little, like, you know, mm-hmm. elementary school and all of that. Mm-hmm. But she wanted to like learn more, you know, which is nice. But
that I'm is so nice. Yeah, you're like, can you just stop?
Yeah. But then I'm like, okay, you could do my projects.
That's so funny. Because I'm learning Spanish now with Lewis. Mm-hmm. Like, he mm-hmm. has no desire to learn Spanish, and I'm making us learn Spanish as a family. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I feel so slow and so stupid. But I think there's a ton of parents that travel, that move to another country, and are like, I guess I have to learn a new language. Like, right. You just yeah. figure it out.
You so, learn it too. Yeah.
Okay, that's brilliant. So,
yes. So then by the time I was like in high school, I think it was just like more advanced. So then, you know, I couldn't catch it either. So,
yeah.
So then it was just like on my own. And I was like, I guess I'll just do whatever to have them not question.
Wait, so then when you were in high school, you made even more sophisticated report cards?
No, it's still like the Word document. Like, I think it was like junior high I started. And it wasn't even, like, I didn't even have that bad of a grade, but I just wanted to make sure I don't have confrontation because I
that's so funny. You have like A or A pluses and you're like, I can't have a confrontation. I will spend hours like scribing this and like doing a fake signature by a teacher because I just don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. But then in high school, I definitely did really bad in high school. And that mm-hmm. so then starting high school, I did not show one report card at all.
How did they not get their hands on that? That's crazy.
I guess they had their own lives then. And they trusted me probably.
Yeah. Well, you've been doing so well up until high school. It's like, why would they think, you know?
Yeah.
The Word documents prove it. You're brilliant.
Yeah, like, it's official.
Did you ever have to hand in a report card signed by your parents?
Yeah, so I forged.
Of course.
Oh no, am I going to get arrested because of
No, you're not. I think forgery is the most fascinating thing. I think it's so, and I know I could really start a problem here, but I think more people should forge things. I know it's super legal, but it's so smart and creative. Like Aziz Ansari has this joke, like the vaccine cards are the most forgeable documents ever. Like they're just the easiest things to forge.
Yeah, you can write whatever.
There's so much you could forge. You could get that white cardstock anywhere. Like there's so many things you could forge. So did you do, was it just signatures? Did you do anything else?
For like, in terms of forgery or faking?
No, you don't have to admit to anything. You could just say no comment.
Oh wait, I do remember something.
Tell me you love it.
I'm like, so also in high school, like high school was my like, I feel like my body.
Sure. Yeah. Probably. When the crimes really started.
Yeah. But I made like a fake music video production company.
Angel, I want to do that. Can I work for it? I want to do that so bad.
It was so bad. Because I think it was the time I wanted to, I think it's like, you know, hanging out with boys and all that mm-hmm. kind of
oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
And then into like musicians.
Okay.
And I was, you know, I was very shy and quiet in high school and everything. So I had no conventional ways of mm-hmm. making friends. Mm-hmm. I feel like I scammed to make friends.
Brilliant.
So I made like a fake music video. And this was height of like AOL, you know, online
stuff. Yeah.
So I would write to band, like local bands, like in Queens or whatever.
Wow. I'm so
excited. Be like, I don't even remember what I called the production company. But let's say Angel.
Angels, yeah.
It's like Angel Productions just saw your music show and were interested in making a music video.
You did? And then what happened?
And then some of them would email back and then I think I did this twice maybe, but I would like, then I would show up with like a little high-8 camera.
Oh my gosh. And oh my like, gosh. I thought you were going to say you ghosted them. You would arrive.
No, I actually did it.
Oh, Angel, that's brilliant. And then you filmed it. What was their reaction when this child arrived?
I mean, they were my, you know, they were like high schoolers, so they were my age. It wasn't, but I think they were expecting like, an actual production.
Yeah, like somebody who does production.
Yeah, like, or like a crew, but it was just like one little.
And then did they play for you?
Well, I would go with them to their shows. So they're like, oh, we're playing at, I don't know, Red Zone this weekend. And then I would go with them and then I filmed their concert.
And then did you edit it and give it to them?
I was like, well, you know, like since they are being nice, I would like edit a nice thing for them and give it. But I never, you know, I was just too.
Did you get money?
No. Yeah, because I'm working for them.
Oh my God, that's so cute. You were just like, I will do free labor and creative services.
Just
whatever.
Out with these musicians.
Oh my God, that's so weird. Did you make friends?
Not. I mean, maybe one or two, but not really.
All right. But it was honing your craft because now you are a filmmaker and you do get paid for it. So.
Yeah.
That's an exciting
thing. Yeah, I forgot. Like, I think that's one of the shameful ones where I'm like,
why is that
completely
shameful? It's adorable. It is so cute. I constantly want to create my own production company, management company, casting company. I'm just like, I don't like the fact that all of these corporations, once they decide to become one, they have access to all these lists and all these documents. And the minute that you become a manager, you get to have a list of like all these breakdowns and all these like, things coming through. Yeah, I'm like, why hasn't somebody, I keep hitting the desk, I'm very excited. Why hasn't somebody like scammed and then put me as their client and then just put me in for everything that I can audition for? I don't know. I'm two steps away from scamming and becoming my own casting for, like my own manager.
That makes sense, though, right?
Like, yeah. I mean, I'm wondering, I know we have some listeners that are really, really good computer experts. I wonder if somebody could create an email that is like untraceable. You wouldn't be able to find out that it comes from my computer or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like a burner computer, burner email. And we could create a company and then put ourselves in everything.
There is, I think it's called like Hush email or something.
Great.
So like you can communicate within that platform, but then so it won't trace.
But then do you have to say like, email me Caitlin Brennick at hush.com. So they're like, oh shit, like what's this drug deal happening? Like it's pretty clear. I feel like it's for like the men and the mistresses where they're like, we know what the assignment is. We're all on board. We're all lying. This is me trying to appear legitimate. And then I show up and I'm like, hey yo, hush hush.
You could just grab that name and be like, that's my management company.
My hush hush. Hush hush management. Yeah. For unemployed people who will probably stay unemployed. What else did you do?
The one thing that stands out right now is I made a fake itinerary again for my. So this was in college.
Okay, great.
I wanted to visit my boyfriend, and he was in LA.
Okay.
For the summer. So
how long would it be for?
It was. I think it was just a weekend or like a few days or whatever. And you know, in college, like I'm an adult, but still, like summers, you know, you go back to your parents, and then you're treated like a kid again.
Yes, and then
and they definitely don't know I had a boyfriend or anything like that.
Of course not.
So I said I got an internship in LA.
You told a fake internship?
Yeah, and then I made like I Google searched like kids having fun in a film center.
So oh my gosh! And you made a brochure.
Yeah, I made a little brochure.
Oh, my God.
And, like, itinerary being like, this is what Angel's going to do today, that day, that day, that day.
That's amazing.
And then I had my friend be, like, the phone number if they need to call.
Angel, you really thought this out.
You know, I really wanted to see my boyfriend.
You really did. And then what happened?
So yeah, they let me go. And I don't think they ever called, you know.
No, they're busy.
But, and I, you know, I would talk to them on the phone so they know I'm alive. So that was
okay,
fine.
Great. That's a great tip.
But yeah.
Great tip. Let them know you're alive. Oh my God. And then what did you do for money? Like, did they give you money towards the program? Did you have money?
I think I probably had some money saved up. So I wasn't really worried about.
Oh, that's amazing. Because some of these programs, I'm like, they give the next thing, like they'll be like, oh, well, what are you eating? What's the feeding schedule?
Yeah,
you know, like,
I guess I probably did use their credit card for the plane ticket. I don't think I would have
that's plane ticket. Amazing. And then you came back and did they ask to see anything, any follow-ups?
No. Yeah, I'm surprised. I don't think they did. I mean, I said what, you know. I did, but yeah, I didn't. I guess there wasn't really like a smartphone or anything.
That's
there,
amazing.
Because I couldn't
no
like
tracking.
Take pictures, you know, like here's pictures of
right.
it. So,
Angel, that's incredible. And they still have never known?
No, until now. When they listen to this.
No, they're not. No,
they don't know what podcast.
Yeah, that's okay. Oh, that's so funny. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. What was the name of the organization called?
I don't know. Probably like something generic, like film. Kids.
Yeah, that's solid. Why not? Just make it.
Yeah.
And then what did your boyfriend say? Did he know? Was he in on it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He didn't understand. I think that's part of it too. Like a lot of this is like the strict immigrant parents type mm-hmm. thing, like overprotective. Mm-hmm. So then you have to kind of lie to just protect yourself in a way, you know, and that, and then this for them too, like it's gonna, like in my head, it's like breaking their hearts if I,
yeah,
you know, have a boyfriend or like,
that's true,
lie to them or whatever.
Were they immigrants here?
They came here when they were like 19 years old, 20 years old, something like that. And then I was born.
No, because I'm thinking like I also feel like as a human, you know, just as an adult and as a parent, I would have different sort of panics and nerves depending on when I had immigrated, like when it was new for me. You know, if I now going, I would be so much more intense with Lewis, whereas if I was younger, I'd been like, I'm living my life, we're exploring, like it doesn't really matter. But then it does get to be this feeling. One of my best friends is Romanian, and her and her husband immigrated here from Romania, and they do have this. They have incredibly successful jobs, and they're much more stable, and they both have citizenships, and they're both like much more adult than Alan and I will ever be. And it's because they're like, we can't go home to our parents on the weekends. Like we don't have anybody backing us up here.
There
is an amount of pressure that like they definitely feel that I can understand wanting to lie. I can understand like as a child feeling that and being like, yeah, things are too intense.
Yeah. And living in like, you know, New York City and Queens, like a lot of people in college, especially because they're, you know, it's everyone from all over. And they're always like, oh, you're from New York City. Where did you go? What did you do for fun when you're little? And I was like, I just stayed at home because my parents wouldn't let me go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like even like with, you know, hanging out with friends, I really had to like give them a reason why. And maybe most of it is me. I'm sure if I told them the truth, like nothing bad will happen. But I think it's just me being like, I don't want to figure it. Like,
well, also, if you hadn't started till then, I do think like if you've been doing the report cards and if you've been keeping things under this like pleasant veil, then to be like, surprise, I'm banging my boyfriend in LA. You're going to be like, I mean, that was probably a great instinct. Like it was something that grew over time. It wasn't a new thing.
Yeah. And that was hard to explain to like my friend, like in college, like, because they were like, you're an adult.
You're an adult and you're from New York City, like the most wild adult probably.
Right, yeah. So, but it is that like, that guilt, that shame, that, you know, all that comes in with like those types of really good parents because they do care. Not good because they...
No, it's so funny. It is like really, really good parents that really are involved also I don't know. I think of that because I'm like very much in, of course, Lewis is four. So I'm like very much in his life. But I'm like, I'm going to want to know what's going to happen when he's older. And Alan's like, we can't. You got to just let him go. You can't ask. You can't be aware of every single thing. You can't be around him all the time. It's like, I know, but it's so cool. I like his life and I'm excited. I want to see who he dates and what he does. And Alan's like, he's not going to hang out with us. Which is true.
Who knows?
It's fine. Maybe. Yeah, who knows? He could be very codependent. And like, we can only hope.
Yeah, he'll be like, my mom is my best friend.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be perfect?
It would be perfect. Now, where are you now with... So now we're at college. You did that. Did anything else happen before or after college that was a creative scam?
I think just minor lies, like being a film major... That wasn't original.
That's amazing. Did you say you got a degree?
Well, so I think the career or the major that we mutually decided on was education, because that was
were comfortable with.
Yeah, they're like, being a teacher is great. You're, you know, helping. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You have summers.
They're not wrong. That's like an amazing plan. You have summers free. You have a great pension. You have guaranteed employment.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. So then, and then I was still like, you know, more in the creative thing. And, you know, I was looking at a lot of communication school. So then I did apply to some like educational, like major stuff, but I think I applied most to like general communications, mm-hmm. which could still translate into communication.
Yeah, it's just general, man. It's easy breezy communicating. Yeah, in a classroom or like on a beach.
And then the first year of my college, my major was organizational communications learning and design.
What does that mean?
It's like a general communications major, but it has so many words. It was real.
Okay. I just want to know like where we are in the spectrum. Like, are we starting with real? Yeah. Okay, we did have real classes. You did attend real classes.
Yeah, so that was real. And then that kind of sounded like an educational major.
Sure.
But then a year in, I did find my groups of friends and they were all like writers or like film school. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I have to change my major. So then I did that without telling them, pretty much.
You changed to a film major without telling them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then what'd you do when you graduated?
Well, they figured it out because I had to film them for one of my projects.
And what'd they say?
I think we just didn't talk about it, I guess. So it wasn't like a big like reveal, like I lied. You know, it was just like, oh, I guess this is what she does.
That's the best case scenario, Angel. That is the best case. Not only did you avoid any like confrontation like you've always wanted to, but you avoided any emotional response. And it seems like your parents also probably didn't want to deal with the emotions either.
Yeah,
like, they're probably also like, great, let's just skate over this because nobody feels like dealing with it. That's so funny.
It's like all these, all these lies. This is my life. No.
This is amazing. But you saw me. I just tweeted all my scams at a bunch of strangers. Just starting. I'm hitting the desk again. I started a Ponzi scheme with my little sister. I Ponzi'd her. It didn't go well because we got bored very quickly with our plan. But I love this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where are we now? Now we're after you graduated college.
Yeah. I'll squeeze in.
Please.
A story of me getting like scammed, I guess.
Oh no.
But not really. I mean, I didn't fall for it, but it was the first time
because you're the hero in this story.
Yeah. But like, I guess it was during college because this was between, like, you know, one of those like between semester things.
Yeah.
You're at home. And then you're still kind of like connecting with your high school friends or whatever.
Like Facebook just started.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're like, oh, well, you know, we'll still hang out even though like I'm over you. I have my college friends.
Yeah.
But one of my friends, they were like, oh, let's hang out. Let's reconnect or whatever. And then they were like, oh, let's meet up at this like hotel. And I was like, okay. I mean, I guess there's like bars at hotel. Whatever.
Yeah, you're like, wow, lobbies. You're sure. Really grew up in college.
Yeah.
Some people got old quick.
Yeah. And then when I got to it, it was like an assembly. Like she just took me to, and it was with Citigroup. Do you know that?
Yeah, the money people.
Yeah, so it's not like, I don't think it's part of Citibank, but it was like, it's called Citigroup.
Was it like a meetup for job applications?
So yeah, so it was like a presentation about how if you joined this company, like you would make money, you would get these really cool perks like a cruise vacation or whatever. Like really,
yeah.
And then I was just like, but because it might, I was like, you know, I don't, I'm not like a financial person. Like in my head, I was like, okay, this is a job.
Did she like make money by bringing more friends?
So yeah. So then after that, I was just like, this is weird. And everyone was always like smiling and be like, you get perks here, and you know, like. And in my head, I'm like, you're
Percocets.
Not like I'm. Like I'm sticking with my like
my perk is
path.
That this isn't my job. That's my number one perk. I'm an artist.
And then I met up with her again, like maybe a day or two after. I don't know why, but I did.
Yeah.
And then that was, and we met up in a Starbucks, and that was when she was like, "Okay, so let me know if you're interested. If not, whatever."
She pitched
but,
you.
Yeah, she kept pitching, and then she's like, and then she gave me a piece of paper, and then she was like, "I'll just list all your like name all your friends, all the people you know."
Oh, like selling knives. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, what? And then no confrontation. So I'm just like listing random names.
Whatever she
like,
says.
I'm
yeah.
Just, yeah. I'm like, what? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Who's the guy that was kind of weird?
So I'm just like,
put him down.
Amy, yeah. Frank. Just, like,
yeah. Bob,
and
seven.
Then, yeah. So I listed maybe like 12 people. And then she was sure. Like, see, if you connect with Amy, and then Amy connects with these people. Like, she was literally drawing me a pyramid.
A pyramid scheme. She's drawing.
She was literally, like, drawing a pyramid. And I'm like, do you not listen? Like, you hear yourself?
Yeah.
And I was like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
I just didn't follow up. I was just like, yeah. This isn't for me.
You got to get out of that.
So I was like, I made it more into, like, mm-hmm. I noticed this side career did, like, extra whatever for money until you, like, you know, because she, I think it was using my vulnerability as like a creative, being like, oh,
yeah.
Artists don't make money. So this could be a good start. And then once you have all that money, you can make your film or whatever.
Was
you
she
know?
Your age?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, same grade.
Wow. So she had been hustling since she was a child in a totally different way. You know, I mean, she'd been,
but I don't
you've
know
been doctoring cars.
Like maybe
no,
they were,
don't realize.
Yeah, they were already in that like. You know,
no, because everyone thinks it's if somebody says like you could be the one to be the millionaire, it's very exciting. And you want to tell your friends like I want us all to be millionaires. But what they don't realize is that no one is anywhere close to that. Like by the time it gets to you, there's no way you're making money without
right, yeah.
working really hard. And you're probably not even going to break even. Oh, that's so funny. I thought it was going to be like it was a ton of like I was thinking like the person had become like a crazy partier. You're in a hotel party. You're dancing. You're drinking. And you're sitting in an uncomfortable conference room.
You know,
probably
like
dry muffins.
It was. Yeah, I don't even remember if they had. They probably did because they were trying to get people. But it was just like, yeah, screen. You know, and there were a lot of people there. But I was like, wait, why didn't you tell me? Like, you ambitious. Like, you could have told me, like, if you really wanted me to go to this presentation, and it's a presentation not
that's
we're hanging
amazing.
Out and catching up, you know, like
yeah.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
Well, good. You got out of that. Yeah. You got out of that stupid dry muffin horror show. Yeah. And then, okay. So then you've graduated and what are you doing
okay.
now?
So I had to, this is all just about lying to my parents.
It's great.
I don't, scamming
it's
my
great,
parents.
Angel. It's inspirational. It's real. It's how you survive.
Yeah. So after, and I felt like college graduation was like the saddest, because that was the moment I knew I can't be with my friends. I don't have that freedom anymore. I can't like stay out late with my friends. I have to like go back to my parents. And you know, they want me to live at home until until I get married. You know, like they just want me home all the time. So I was just like, yeah, during even like at graduation, my parents like drove up with I think an aunt and my sister. So there was like a family there. And we were all gonna drive back home right after graduation. But a lot of my friends were staying an extra week.
Yeah,
all the parties. And their parents were just like, yeah, we're here for your graduation. We're going to go home. See you later, kind of
thing. Right, you need them to get in and get out.
But my parents were like, that wasn't how we worked. So then, like, the moment we graduated, you know, I packed up all my stuff to my dad's car. This is, I'm like recalling this, like, memory. And it's, like, still, like, the saddest in my head. But I think because I couldn't tell them why I was upset, like I couldn't explain about leaving my friends and not having the free, and you know, it seems like I don't want to be with my parents, so I couldn't like explain that really.
Feelings, yeah.
But I think I was visibly upset, and then you know, when we were packing up, like my parents were criticizing on how I packed. Like I probably did last minute, of course.
But they were just I was stoned when my parents came into my place and I wasn't packed one bit. They were like, what? And I was like, guys, I'm just doing this again. Like, it was so bad. It was so bad. I was so emotional.
Oh, yeah. So I think they were really helping me pack. So there was like all that like happening. And then my dad was just like putting stuff in the trunk. He drove like a big van kind of thing. And then I had this Garfield lamp that I had like forever when I was a kid. And then I think it was like packed wrong or whatever. And then like my dad and I were just like kind of arguing and then the lamp broke. And then I was just like, Dad. And then I just like ran back in. And we're living in like one of those like off campus house things. Mm-hmm, so it was me and like two other roommates, my friends. And I ran back in and I like ran into my friend's room for whatever reason. I don't remember why, but I didn't know he was still there. He was like sleeping. So I was ran there and I was like crying. And then he was just like, oh, what's happening? And then, so it was like, and then, you know, I felt bad because like my dad didn't understand why I was like so upset because it seemed like I was upset because the lamp broke and he was part of it. So it like kind of like making him feel guilty and shame, but it wasn't really that. It was my like
right
thing about like leaving.
Yeah. So
I just remember that like moment of like I made my dad feel bad, but I can't tell him what, you know, like what's going on.
Yeah, you're afraid of being honest, it'll make him feel worse.
Yeah. So then, but now he feels bad because he thought he did something wrong, you know. Mm-hmm, and that's like hard to.
Yes. And then what happened? Did you go back with them?
I had to go home because my family, like my aunt, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to go home. Like, I wouldn't be able.
Right. That's your only way home. So you got to go home with the broken
And then
lamp.
I remember my cell phone, my little cell phone was like packed up. So a lot of people were like calling me and I just couldn't even listen. And then when I got home, like all these like voice messages of like, oh, Angel, I didn't realize you left. You know, like we didn't say goodbye.
Oh, no.
But it was, I mean, like a lot. Luckily, you know, I live in New York City. Like that's where my home is. So a lot of college people like move to New York City.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't
You're like come on by. We're all hanging out.
Yeah, it wasn't like I lived in the middle of nowhere and no one's gonna, you know, like
True.
Move there.
Thank God. So. Your parents knew that. They're like, we're going to see him in 2 weeks anyway. Let's go. Yeah. When they're sick of their parents, they'll be over at our house in a minute. Just let's get in the car.
Yeah. So I was so like, still like, I can't live there. You know, I was just like, so back to high school, like me needing to tell them every time I'm going out or, and you know, it's New York, so I can't drive. So it's like, and there's no Uber at that time. So it's like taking subways late. And that's kind of like, you know,
not the safest.
So then I decided I needed to move to LA because a lot of the other college friends were moving there. Okay. And we did do an LA program during high school.
A real one?
Or not high school, sorry, college. A real one.
Did you forge this one? Okay, so it was a real one. Not the boyfriend program abroad.
Yeah, they actually went with me too. They went with me to LA to like unpack and stuff. And then they went home.
Okay.
So they saw everything. So I already had like friends there and I lived there for a few months because of college. So I was just like, I have to just move there.
Yeah.
So then I had to lie and say that I a job, like I was hired.
Oh, you did. That's amazing.
Which,
that's,
you know, like I had a PA job, like for like a week or something.
Still, that's a job. Yeah. You're actually not lying.
So then I made that into like, oh, this is a full-time job. There's insurance, like all of that stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And then my parents, you know, they value education. They value like job. So they're just like, okay, you know, like,
great.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I lived in LA for a few years. And then...
What did you do for insurance?
I didn't have it.
Just didn't go to the doctor, yeah. You're like, yeah. I'm young, I'm not going to get sick.
Yeah, did not have any insurance. Like, did not make money at all, you know. Like,
you didn't?
Yeah, it was a lot of the PA jobs are just like $100 a day, you know, that type of job.
Did you pay rent? Did you have...
lived with my friends, on my friend's couch for a little bit.
I love it.
And then they're like, you should probably pay something.
You're using all of our, like, Cheetos.
I know, but in my head, I was like, but I'm in the couch. Why would I pay anything?
Yeah.
Like, I felt so, like, I was one of those, like, probably
feelers. No concept. Well, you didn't have any concept, and you didn't pay anything at your parents' house. So it was just, like, another nice place to be.
Yeah, I was like, why would I give you money to sleep on the couch? And then I moved out with a friend who rented, like, a place. It was a house in Studio City. So it was a really nice house, and it was a older woman who, like, all her children were already out of the house. So it was her and her blind dog.
I think I remember you telling a story about this.
So she had, like, extra rooms. So my friend and I were living in those rooms. So
did
we were,
you pay
like,
her?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we were. Okay. It
was like, how did you make money then? Did you forge
I
it?
I was still...
make tiny little paper money. That's my dream.
I still had like those tiny, it was like a transcriber or whatever. Yeah. Like, oh, nice. But really like stretching. Yeah. Yeah. Money was just like, ugh, like those days.
I mean, that's me right now. I'm like, we're not doing great. Wow. Okay. So then, you're in LA. What brought you back to New York?
So then I felt like I was missing a lot of my parents, and then my sister, like she was in college and then, or she was like in high school. We were 7 years apart. So, So I wanted to be there for her, like, you know, like moments, like graduation
or whatever.
That's nice.
That's so sweet.
And then my now husband, we were like college friends, and but he like was one of the ones who like moved to New York and New York City and lived there. And then we kind of reconnected during one of my trips, like visit back to New York. And then we kind of had like a long distance relationship type thing. And then I was like, well, he's there. My family's there. Like, you know,
yeah.
And I'm not really making money in LA and I don't know how to drive. So it's just like, oh.
Yeah. There's a thing that it's always this with like art and passionate things. Everybody has like a little bit of a limit. You know, you can go, you can do the starving artist thing. You can try and do everything you know, in your power to make it work out. But everyone sort of has a moment where like, but this is not, you know, if I can't drive, I can't get around on my own and I'm not with any family members. This is not a value.
There were a lot of times when I'm applying to jobs and, you know, a main like component is like, can you drive? If you're, especially if you're assistant, you know, you have to. Yeah. So then I would always say, yep, I know how to drive. And then I feel like if I get this job, I'll figure it out.
I'll forge a driver's license. Like I do everything in life. That's true. Were you at all terrified? See, my thing is if I do lie about job things, I'm so terrified I'll get found out and then I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, definitely every day. Like, I'm still terrified. Yeah.
Constantly afraid of everything I've lied about.
But it was just like that desperation of like, I'm sure I'll figure it out.
You will.
But luckily, I never got a job that required me to drive. So.
Luckily, that's brilliant. That's so funny. You're like, yeah, I like to drive. Like, you like wrote it and like, or like, yeah, like, I love clicking the wheel,
you know, I like
the steering wheel.
That's how you drive.
I like pushing buttons. You're like, she doesn't know how to drive. That is so funny. Yeah. Okay, so then you're back in New York. And what are you doing now?
So now I'm like, you know, with my boyfriend, and we were like, let's, you know, we wanted to move in together because his lease was up with his roommate, and I didn't want to live with my parents, so like it made sense. but it was very soon. Like I moved back maybe a week or two, like not even maybe like a month or so. And that's when we were like, oh, let's, because that's when his lease. So we had like a deadline of like, we need to find an apartment. And then it was like too soon for my parents.
Oh,
because I was like, if I do move out, I should stay with them at least a few more months before like moving out.
Yeah, right,
or like or finding a job. You're
like, I care about you guys, but I really care about this boyfriend.
Yeah, it was that, and then knowing like I need that freedom. So there was a week in time where I'm like looking at apartments with my boyfriend, not telling my parents, trying to figure out, you know, like when that moment comes. And then in my head, I'm working out all these lies. I'm like,
you gotta keep them prepared. Yeah.
So one of them was, what if I told them I got into graduate school?
That's a good one.
Because it's school. That's
good. Yeah.
And they have free dorming. So I have to move to the dorms. But it's too much of a
stretch. That's a lot. That's just so much. So many documents you're going to need.
Yeah.
So many more report cards. And, you know, you've graduated from report card fraud. So you should move on to something better.
So I had to tell, like, it was one of those.
You did? You told them the
truth? Yeah, I think this was...
Plot twist.
I know, yeah. This was the first only turning point of, like, I can't lie to my parents anymore.
How old were you?
So now I'm, it was right after, it wasn't right after college, so probably 23,
24. Yeah, and I gave you 23 years. Some people never get it. That's not bad.
Yeah, it was really, I felt relieved because I mean, there's like past lies that I'm not going to reveal.
No, of course not, except for on this podcast.
But yeah. I'm like, I don't have to lie anymore.
And what did they say? Was it a difficult?
It was hard. It was the hardest thing I had to do in my life.
You're like, actually, everything I was afraid of did come true. I don't recommend it.
It was harder than, I mean, I haven't given birth yet, but I imagine it was harder than giving birth.
Yeah.
It was, I told them during, we were eating dim sum and like Flushing. Mm-hmm. And again, my dad saw that I was like sad. And he was just like, what's wrong? And then I just blurted out, like, I'm moving out. I don't know what I said, but I was just like, I'm moving out. And I have a boyfriend. I didn't even tell them I had a boyfriend. That was the other thing.
That's amazing.
And then I think the one thing I said that was truth was like, I was like, I just need space. You know, like I was trying to tell them that I feel trapped when I'm living with them. So then when we got home, my dad started moving my furniture. Because he's like, oh, you need space. Let me move this dresser out of the way. See, you have space now.
Like, no. Oh, I love them. I love your parents so much. I love them. They did good for them for also like being like shocked for 23 years. Like we thought it was one way and now it's dope. Yeah. Like good for them. They're troopers.
I think my dad was upset the most. So they were definitely like yelling at me and just not understanding. They're like, you don't have a job. Like, how are you going to pay rent? Like, they're like, we're not going to keep you forever. But at least I get a job so then you can pay rent.
Well, how were you going to pay rent?
I was like, I'll find another like freelance.
Yeah.
So whatever.
That's PA, whatever. You're like, I'll find a part-time job. Yeah. Like we all do.
Yeah. Because I needed my independence more. Yeah.
Right.
So whatever.
And then what happened?
So then they met my boyfriend, Grant.
Oh, nice.
And that helped. And it also helped that
we finally got... It was actually your boyfriend.
Yeah.
It wasn't a fake person. It was really him.
My parents did help me move. We moved to Greenpoint like any other, you know, hipster 20-year-olds. And my dad did ask, like, he's like, oh, you guys are sleeping in different bedrooms, right? Like,
really?
He just can't, like, grasp.
He can't.
And I was like, I don't know.
You said yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're like,
another lie. I guess I'll continue with this lie.
Was it a two bedroom or was it a one bedroom?
It was one of those like railroads. So there were like, different.
Okay,
rooms.
Great. So one that's like an office is suddenly Grant's bedroom. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Then you got married. Well, and then you're like,
which is good because like, if I didn't, that would have been like, you did all this and you're not married to, you know.
Which is also like how every woman right now lives. Like everyone's like, okay, let's just try it. Let's have it. And, you know, cohabit together and then break up. Wow. Okay. So, but then didn't you end up moving back with your family at one point?
Or it's your family's building.
Yeah. So now I'm back in my childhood, where I lived for four or five years in this building, because they still own it. And but they were like kind of forced to own another story. But it was just like Greenpoint was too much rent, and then they're just live. And this was a good middle because it's not living with them, but it's like close, like it's maybe a 10-12 minute drive to their house.
Mutual. And they know the place, they're comfortable with it.
Yeah.
So they conned you, Angel. They got you back. They got you back there. They're really smart. They played the long game.
Yeah.
You conned for 23 years. They conned for another 40 or whatever. Mm. they're doing it.
You have space now.
You have so much space. You have a whole building, and you don't have to. The rent's manageable or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So all I have to do is own a building so that my son will be forced to live there. And then we can hang out again.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. But I love this. I love this story because it is, there's so much of like, everybody talks about like the conning and the lies of like, you know, criminals and this and that, like white collar crime and like all these frauds. But then there's also just, you get sometimes wrapped up in the lies and in the support of your family members' emotions.
Yeah.
You're just like, it'll all work out.
Yeah, it feels easier to like.
Yeah. Well, you're serving the greater good. You're saying, like, I don't want to upset this person right now. But then usually they get caught, like something catches, you know?
But yeah, it's like a lot of these, it just kind of worked. You know, it was just the one time I had to move out. Like, that was the one time I had to really confront. And it was, like, a big thing. And now it's, like,
and now you're never doing that again. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, if there's anything I do now that would require, like, a lie to my parent.
You can say legally. I don't know.
I don't think there's anything. I would tell them everything. Like, even if I, like, murdered someone, I think I would tell them I wouldn't lie.
Yeah. There is something that, like, there's just something that also comes with age that it's, like, it's just not worth it.
Yeah,
like, I don't have the energy to lie and hide it. And also, they've dealt with enough disappointment or, like, shock.
I am one. I feel like I am one. So... Wait, mental health. I'm going to therapy, I'm taking medication and all of that. And that is something that Asian parents do, or Asian people don't understand, because they're still in the mindset of like, I feel like mental health isn't a real thing type thing. So that I am still kind of what I forget.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that's really legitimate, because now you're not protecting them. You're protecting yourself, really. Like, it doesn't matter how they feel. You're literally dealing with your own feelings and emotions, and that's going to help you be a happier and better person. And it's lovely. It's like, you know, you spent a lot of time taking care of them and their needs and, you know, placating them or trying to, like, avoid issues or their emotional stress. And now you can take care of your own. And that's super mature. And that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I try to help, you know, I try to be like, talk about it more, so then it's in their heads that mental health is a real thing. Because my parents, both of them definitely need therapy, you know, like.
Of course. Every single person needs therapy. I think it's hard because there's this element of like, if you never had mental health or any sort of experiment, you know, with that world, you're sort of like holding on really tight and you're surviving, you're doing the best that you can.
Yeah.
So you are kind of like, well, I didn't need it.
Right,
but maybe you did at the time. It didn't have to be as unpleasant, didn't have to be as terrible or as heartbreaking as life was. You could have had more help with it. But because they did get through it, there's this feeling of like, well, I got through it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it is also a generational thing, I'm sure, too. Because they keep thinking, if you're sad, just think of happy thoughts. That's all you have to do, you know, like that kind of thing.
I wish. I have tried to do that. I'm like, I'm just going to think happy. And then I'm like, what a fucking stupid idea. Life is so hard. Women don't have any rights.
I'm sure, because I, you know, like I have that documentary out at BBC, and they were involved with it. So that I even watched it, but they're still like, and I thought that was a moment where like, all right, again, no more, you know, they're seeing that.
Yeah,
I talk about how, you know, I have anxiety and all of that. And then when we watched it together, and when it was done, my mom was still like, this is part of your art, right? Like, they thought it was like a fictional film.
Oh. You're playing it up for the cameras.
Yeah, nearly, yeah.
You're like, no, I'm having a panic attack right now. This is real. There's no hidden camera.
So that is definitely still a subject that is, but I'm sure like it's one of those things. I'm sure it might like, yeah, reveal. And I keep telling my mom, like, my dream is to find my mom like a Cantonese speaking therapist that maybe is her age or something. Because she like a lot of the things I learned from therapy about myself, like with my anxieties and my like overthinking and all that. Like, I definitely see that in my mom a lot.
Yeah.
So it's like, I wish I could. Yeah.
It's so hard. It's so hard to talk about mental therapy with anyone and not making it feel like an insult.
Right. Yeah.
Like, because your mind, your emotions, the way you're living your life is the fundamental of you. So if somebody's saying like, oh, I think you need improvements, or you have aid in this way, you're like, oh, the state of being, the way I live my life, the way I think needs improvements. Now, it doesn't feel that way to us, but I feel like someone that's never had therapy, it feels like you're questioning their whole existence and every decisions that they made, even though that's not what therapy is. It must also feel, I mean, I have this sometimes when I meet a new therapist, I'm like, oh, we're going to just get into it. Like, are we going to get ready to unravel it all? Like, am I going to be a puddle? I don't have the energy to. I have to go get groceries and like do laundry. Like, I don't have time. So there is that feeling of like, do we really want to get into it? Or can I just like keep moving forward and doing the next step? Oh, that's amazing. But it sounds like the most wonderfully loving, cryptic relationship. It sounds so sweet. It's so sweet.
They're still so nice. You know, they're still like driving me to places or whatever I need. You know, they're there for me.
Of course. They love you like crazy. Yeah. Like, that's the thing is that with all of this, Alan always says it whenever my family and I, whenever we meet up, there's always like one argument or issue or something. And Alan's like, it's because you're all just upset because you love each other so much, and you're not letting each other like either have space or freedom, or you're loving too hard, or you said something that was, he's like, the conflict is just extreme amounts of love battling back and forth. And he's like, it's not that that's not there, or that, you know, anybody's neglecting anyone. He's like, because he came from a very different experience. So he's always like, this is fine. Like, I'm in an argument with my sister because I want to go out with her Friday and she wants to go out Saturday. And I think Friday's better for her because she needs to, you know, and he's like, yeah, it's fine. That's not a problem. But, you know, like, he's like, you'll work out the semantics. Like, that's not the issue.
That's true.
And I'm like, you're right. We just love each other because she thinks it's best for me to go on this thing. And I think it's best for her to try this, you know, acai bowl, and we're fighting about whose acai bowl's better. It's like really crazy.
I did, my sister is going to therapy, like I influenced her, so I'm happy.
Amazing.
I helped one family.
Success. Yeah. Oh yeah. And everyone listening to this podcast usually knows I'm in lots of therapy and medication, so they're all in support of it or dipping their toe in it as well.
That's
amazing. I love it. Ugh, Angel, you're so smart. I think you should like keep doing forgery. I think we need to get back to your roots. I think you need to get back.
Not be ashamed of it.
No, let's try making a passport. You know, let's try making a new driver's license. I want the New York State ID thing, and I don't feel like going to that appointment. You know, like give me
hologram.
That.
And then
we can, yes, make some holograms. I'd love that. I'd love like memberships to museums, like a membership access. I don't have to pay any money.
There's like a cafe where I work with like a punch card thing. You know, you get like free whatever.
Yeah.
So and it was just like a punch out of a star. So I was able to make my own star punch out. And just,
yes.
So that's a recent one.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Have you done any other of those cards and stuff? Those are so funny.
Like an actual?
Like the punch out. Oh. Like, is that, have you only done it that one
time?
Yeah,
just because it was like, oh, this is easy to start.
Oh, I want you to keep going. I also feel like you could probably find, you know, when they stamp like your yogurt cards, mm-hmm. you can probably find the stamp.
Yeah.
Or something if you really focus. Yeah. You can find like.
And only in like those places that, you know, are doing fine. And it's
they're
not,
fine.
Yeah, not like the small.
They're fine. Yogurt's spilling all over the floor. They're wasting it anyway. You know, yeah. They're fine. They're fine. They're doing great. They're very happy and they love their family.
I support small businesses. So I just want to make sure.
Yeah, support small businesses. That's amazing. This is so fun. I love it. I'm like just now fantasizing of all the things we could forge together.
Yeah, let me know.
I'm like, I just want to forge everything. I even just like beautiful. Well, you know, I'm obsessed with forging beautiful artwork. I think that's my favorite thing. Is it like,
what does that mean?
No reason.
What does that mean?
Okay. So not necessarily forging, but copying. There's mm-hmm. this company and they're based out of China and they take whatever art piece you want, historical art piece, you send them the PDF of it and they recreate it with like a huge employmanship, no, and with a huge team of artists. And basically when you're in art school, as you know, you do reproductions of a bunch of different mm-hmm. pieces of work. And mm-hmm. so while you're training, you're doing what the masters are doing
right.
and you're redoing a Michelangelo and you're doing that for practice.
Yeah, yeah.
And it drives me crazy that like art is most of it's stolen anyway, but it's just these bizarre percentage markup. Mm-hmm. And it's because everybody mm-hmm. decides it's worth something and it's super expensive. If I like something, I want to see a painting on my wall, then hell yeah, I'm going to spend $40, give it to this community of, you know, of artists and then have it in my house. And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I love it. My sister's gotten it. We've had listeners that have gotten it. It's my favorite thing in the world.
I feel like this is good. I like your podcast. Because I'm like, because, you know, all like the scamming, like whatever it is, like copying plagiarism, like it's like shameful. You know, I'm always like, oh, I can't believe it. But maybe it's not shameful.
You know,
maybe
you just thriving. You're thriving to live. Yeah. And also if you can make money off of it, I'm like, so this painting is just like sitting in a museum. It was probably not to be mm-hmm, so intense. Mm-hmm. It was probably stolen from a Nazi, from mm-hmm, somebody's mm-hmm. house. Like that's how it got there. And, or, you know, a colonizer or whatever. And it's sitting there and we're all saying it's worth millions of dollars. I love it. It's beautiful. I want to see it every day. I will pay somebody to do something just like it. And it's incredibly valuable to me. Like it doesn't matter. It's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it doesn't hurt anyone.
Yeah.
I like because I feel like I feel like Chinese folks do that a lot, like the copying, or I think this happens a lot where there's so many restaurants owned by Chinese folks and they're just like copying, like they're just like copying an exact like menu and everything.
Oh really?
And I know there was one story I remember from like another like This American Life or something that talks about that, but then I noticed, like, especially in New York City, I think a lot of sushi restaurants are owned by Chinese people. Like, they're not Japanese at all. And they're just trying anything to, like, you know, knowing, like, oh, this sushi sells. And maybe it's, like, easy to, you know, just roll up my rice or whatever.
Yeah, my friends who owned it were Malaysian and Chinese. Mm-hmm. And they opened it and they had both worked in sushi restaurants in like Ohio mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. it was the most delicious sushi I've ever had and like everybody worked there, it was great.
Yeah,
I'm like, go for it.
Yeah, yeah, because every time I hear them talk, I'm like, oh, I understand what they're saying. I was like, oh, and then but then people who don't know, like, they'll assume that they're Japanese and that's
those are just racist people.
Yeah.
Also, I don't care if the racist people are being duped and they can't tell the difference between mm-hmm. or they don't bother to know mm-hmm. if somebody's Chinese or Japanese and they're just generalizing, then who cares? Eat your sushi and go home.
Yeah, I think that is the survival like mode of like, like you're just like who cares if I'm copying it? Is this how I'm making a living?
I understand like, well, because people go to culinary school and so they'll copy and they'll learn how to do French cuisine mm-hmm. or they'll learn how to do Latin American mixed cuisine or like fusion. And that no one thinks of that as copying, but because two Asian cultures are doing interchangeable things, then that people have a problem with that.
Right.
And it's like, who cares? They could open whatever they want. They could open like a roti roll place. Let them go.
Open, make McDonald's.
Yeah, make money. Just make your money. Whatever you need to do, make your money. Right now, just, I don't care. Make it all. Make it all. I did, I think I didn't get scammed, but I did make a stupid purchase, according to Alan, because I wanted to get these brightly colored hats for the winter for sale. And if you buy a certain number, you get like a certain number free. So I spent $40 and got 8 hats. So I have, so each was $5, but Alan's like, we don't need 8, you know? But at the time I was like really trying to get the deal. I'm like, can I get more? Yeah. Then it means that like they're $5 each. And that's like probably what they're going at the market. Like I want to play, you know, wholesale prices. He's like, we don't need 8 hats. Now we have 8 brightly colored hats. And we will wear them forever.
Yeah, it's a rotation.
You know, but it wasn't the smartest decision.
I bought a fanny pack.
Great.
On Amazon. And I think this is the happiest day of my life. Because I think they made a mistake of packaging.
Oh,
but I got like 12 fanny packs for...
Really? Yeah.
I was so happy.
Send me a fanny pack and I'm going to send you a hat. Okay.
And they're all like different colors. I'm just like, and yeah, in my head, I was like, oh, I could give these out as gifts. I don't need 12 anymore.
Oh, you can give them out as gifts.
But
yeah,
I want them all because they're all different. And same. I'm like, I can't look.
They're so bright. Can I show mine? They're so bright and colorful. Look at all those.
Yeah. You can't choose. You have to keep them all.
You have to. Now I got like 3 colors of blue. You know, I'm like, did I need 3 blues?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
I love it. Yeah.
Amazing. Angel, you're so lovely. Oh, thank you so much. I can't wait for all your shows.
At Gallery.
Let's make it happen. Why not? Why not? I just got a great rejection letter. Oh. So I need to go on to the next thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Angel, where can people find you if they want to look you up and see all your amazing films?
I am at Yao Angel on Instagram and Angel Yao on Twitter. But I don't really use Twitter. Oh, and Facebook.
Oh, good.
And Facebook.
No one loves Facebook.
There was a time where you can make your own URL on Facebook. So I'm facebook.com/ChineseGirl or something like that. That was the one I was like, picking up.
And then you got it for anybody else. See, that's also, you know, it pays to be thoughtful early.
Yeah, I think my friend got like Limp Bizkit Girl.
That's amazing.
Now she probably regrets.
No, she's like, that's not a great connotation for women. That's so funny. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. I love talking to you. Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing everything.
ScamWow Podcast Season 2 is produced and edited by me, Caitlin Brodnick, produced and edited by Caitlin Moldenhauer, and edited by Jesse Caron. We are part of the More Banana Podcast Network, which is an all-female owned and run network for women's voices uninterrupted. If you love us, the best thing you can do is rate and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It will help us tremendously. Thank you guys so much for listening, all of your support. We're so happy to have you here, and we will see you next week. Bye!
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question 2 ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.